in our practice, we should know, oh, this is where I should be and this is where I shouldn't be. And we take the guidance of our root guru, and through his compassion, we follow his guidance and we continue to practice. And we continue to practice. And then we explain to our guru, this is the state of my practice at the moment. This is what I'm experiencing. And if we don't have an benevolent enlightened guru, there's no way we will be able to practice this very profound Dharma. If we don't want to practice the very profound Dharma, we don't need to have a guru. However, if we want to practice the very profound Dharma, the Mahamudra, Vajrayana, great perfection, it is so important that we have the guidance of an enlightened teacher, and that they are there to correct us and that can guide us on the path. And we really must check with our enlightened guru that our state of practice is correct or whether it is incorrect. And the guru will do this for us. Our responsibility is to keep on practicing, irrespective of whether I'm unhealthy or whether I'm healthy. I will continue to practice. If my emotions are very strong or if my mood is very good, irrespective, I will still continue to practice. When many difficulties and obstacles arise, I will continue to practice. When things are going very easily and smoothly, I will continue to practice. And we really must have this resolute aspiration. If what we do is we practice and then we stop practicing and then we practice and stop practicing, we are not going to progress very well in our practice. We put in the effort into the practice and we follow our guru according to the lineage instructions that he gives us, and in this way we will be able to improve in our practice. For instance, if we want to go visit in Lhasa, if we have a guide that is familiar with Lhasa and that's in Lhasa, well, we can find our way around very easily. On the other hand, if we want to go to Lhasa and travel around Lhasa, but we go with somebody who has never been there before and doesn't know the city, maybe eventually we get around in Lhasa, but it will take a lot more time and effort. It's very important that we do have the great blessing of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and that we follow the instructions of the pure lineage of our root guru. And it is so, so important that we have the guidance of a benevolent, enlightened guru. Really, don't practice blindly. Don't blindly go and pay homage. And don't go about meditating without any guidance. Of course, we can do it for some results. However, if we really want to practice these very auspicious, profound dharmas, then we must follow the guidance of a benevolent guru. For instance, like these practices of Mahamudra or enlightenment, great perfection practices that can enable us to attain enlightenment in this very lifetime. For these dharmas, really, we must have the guidance, the blessing, the empowerments of an enlightened guru. And practice step by step according to the pith instructions given to us by our guru. And why? Because the guru understands, knows our level of practice. Not one person's level of practice is the same. Some of the students, their attachment and desire is very strong. For other students, their anger is very strong. For others, their jealousy is very strong. For some, their dullness is very strong. For others, they have so many random arising deluded thoughts. Some of the students are lazy. Some of them are all scattered. Some of them are really ignorant. Some students are really in a daze, and some students just get totally lost. Every student is different, and the guru knows. And so the guru is just like a doctor that knows the condition of all of the students. For instance, if we are feeling unwell and it's a very general state of illness, we can go outside and we can go to the pharmacy and we can get the necessary medicines to help us. However, if it is a very, very serious illness, then we really need a specialist. And so then we can't just randomly buy medicine over the counter. We must get a prescription from a very specialized doctor. Similarly, just for general practice, It's okay. We can practice, recite some mantras, read some sutras. However, to really understand and to realize our true nature of mind, we need the specific guidance of an enlightened teacher, just like we need a specialized doctor for a very serious illness. And then if the specialized doctor gives us the medicine and we take this medicine, then there's a good chance we will recover to good health again. However, if we have a very serious ailment and we just take medicine randomly, there's a possibility that this ailment of ours becomes even worse. And it's the same principle with respect to our practice. If we are practicing and we just have a general state of realization, every now and then we recognize the true nature of mind and then we sink back into samsara and we keep on like this, then we don't necessarily need any special instruction. However, once we progress past this, then we really need the guidance and the blessing and the empowerment of an enlightened guru. And everybody must pay attention to these. And why? Because we are in retreat, and the purpose of retreat is to enter into an even clearer, purer state of mind. Don't think that in the 7 days I'm definitely going to attain enlightenment. This is very, very difficult. Think, for so many lifetimes, I've wasted all of this time. I didn't apply myself in practice. And so for these 7 days, I'm really going to settle down and apply myself and practice well. And the purpose of these 7 days is to attain a new experience within practice. And when my mind settles down, then we start to begin to experience the blessing of the Dharma. The reality is the blessing of all of the Dharma is so special. Why is it that we haven't found it special? It's because we haven't settled down, our mind hasn't come to calm abiding, and the Dharma hasn't been absorbed into our mind stream. When we start to realize how auspicious this Dharma is, then we really have this great attitude of cherishing and gratitude towards our Guru and the Three Jewels. And as a result, your bodhicitta will increase and you will be even more conscientious in practicing towards benefiting sentient beings. And this will increase our renunciation. And so in this regard, everybody practice well. And very important is that in these days we really, really repent. Don't worry too much about your state of realization, whether it's really good or not good. If you repented very well in these 7 days of retreat, then already it will be very helpful towards our state of realization. How much time do we really spend repenting? Maybe half a minute, 1 minute, 2 minutes. Now think you're in retreat and you're repenting for a whole 7 days. Now, of course, this will be of such great benefit. Retreat is very important. However, don't go in there thinking, oh, I had this image, I heard these sounds, there were these kinds of smells. And when they come out, they have all sorts of attachment to these sort of things. It is because of our attachment to these five senses that we are still revolving around in samsara. And now, if we retreat, we carry on being attached to these five senses, then all we're doing is we're perpetuating samsara, and we are not improving our state of realization. And we don't realize the Dharma. And these experiences are not the end result. For some students, they might be good. For other students, they might be something negative. They might create obstacles and problems in the process of their practice. Don't get lost and confused in attachment to these different experiences. And they say, oh, I really want to find wisdom emptiness. And the others say, oh, this is wisdom emptiness. How do you contemplate and look at emptiness? There are two ways to enter into wisdom emptiness. The one method is through logic, contemplation, and through logic, understanding emptiness. And the other is through these profound, transcendent, but the instructions of Mahamudra and the great perfection, Dzogchen. And through this directly realize the great wisdom emptiness. So to repeat, the one way is through contemplation, analysis, and logic, and the other is through direct practice and direct experience. through meditation. And who are those practitioners of the highest realization? Their realizations come through their belief, their unmoving belief in their Vajraguru and in the Dharma. And through just one pith instruction and practicing it, they can realize the unity of compassion and wisdom, realize our true nature of mind. These are the highest level of practitioners. For most of us over here, we are middle level students. We need to realize the true nature of mind through listening, study, contemplation and reflection, and then practice, and then receiving meditation practice, and then receiving the pith instructions, entering into retreat, and then receiving empowerments, and then thoroughly understanding and realizing the true nature of mind. And keep on applying oneself in accumulating merit, and then our merits can ripen. Auspicious.